I want you to turn this morning to Exodus. Let's turn to chapter 5. Actually, I'll be reading the majority of the text from chapter 6. But turn to chapter 5. Let's begin reading in chapter 5 and verse 22. And take just a few verses also out of chapter 6. I'm speaking this morning on hearing God's voice. Hearing God's voice. Lord, is that you? Did you really ask me to do that? Lord, is that really what you want me to do? Did I hear you correct? God, I'm doing what you said to do. Then why am I at the place that I'm at right now? I thought I heard you correctly. Lord, you don't have to say it two or three times. But did I misunderstand? Moses said in verse 22, and Moses returned unto the Lord. Had you ever had to go back to God and say, can you repeat that one more time? He returned to the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now, I don't know if you underline verses or words or write down phrases, but follow me on this. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what? The next two words, I will. Underline it or mark it. I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of this land, out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, these next four words, underline them, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of the pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, here it is again, underline it, I am the Lord. And here's those two words, I will bring you out from under the bondage burdens of the Egyptians. And here it is again, I will rid you out of their bondage. And again, two words, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And there it is again, I will take you to me for a people. And there's those two words again, I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that, here's the four words, I am the Lord, your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you for an heritage. And I am the Lord. I think you see the repetition that occurs in those phrases. This book is not a mere book. God is the center of this book. And not only is God the center of this book, God is the center of every message that you'll ever receive from this book. So it is a God-centered book that gives us God-centered messages because we are to be God-centered people. And in the life of Moses, I think that we see some things that teaches us that he understood the Word of God. See, if you hear from God and you look at his book right and you say, God's in the center of his Word and God's in the center of every message, then what this book will become to you, it will not only be God's book, but it will be your guidebook. So it's not only God's book, but it's a guidebook to us. Now, if you see it as God's book and you see it as a guidebook, then you only have two options. You either have to follow it, or you have to forget it. You either read it, study it, believe it, act upon it, or else you're going to put it on a shelf and you're going to say, that's another copy of my Bible. And it will have no help for you in life when you face certain things. But Moses knew the Word of God. See, God in times past, in sundry times, different times, many times, spoke in diverse manners, the Bible says, under our fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. That's what Hebrews teaches us in chapter 1 and verse 1. So God speaks to us through His Word. God speaks to us through His Spirit. And His Spirit takes the Word of God and teaches us. So now we're at a place where that when we hear God's voice through His Word, through His Spirit, and we believe God's Word is God's book, and it's our guidebook, then we have to make that crucial decision. Will I follow it and be obedient to it, or will I disobey it? Well, in order to really know that it's God's book, Moses teaches us, first of all, about the relationship. He had a relationship with God. He had been called by God, not as others had been called. It was a burning bush experience. It wasn't so much that the bush burned, but it was that the bush burned and was not consumed. But God spoke to him from that bush. Now, the Old Testament says that it was the angel of the Lord. But that phrase, the angel of the Lord, in many occasions in your Bible, literally means it was the voice of Jesus speaking to him. It's pre-incarnate Christ. It's Him, through a theophany, revealing Himself to His servant Moses. So He said, take your shoes off, for the place you stand is holy ground. And He gave him the commands. And then you know what happened with Moses? He didn't doubt that it was the voice of God. I mean, there's no doubting when God says it, you know God says it. And you know God won't change His mind on it. But yet, somehow, we don't have a problem believing that it's God's Word and that God spoke to me through His Word. But the problem is, we doubt ourselves. So he said, I'm in doubt. So you know the encounter that went on. He said, what do you have in your hand? It was a rod. He said, cast the rod down. It became a serpent. He ran from the serpent. God said, take the serpent by the tail. When he took it by the tail, it became a rod again. Then God said, put your hand in your bosom. When he pulled it out, it was leprous. God said, put it back, and he was healed. God was revealing His power to him through His Word. Do you know there's power in this book? There's power in the Word of God. When we seal the Word of God in our heart and in our mind, and we live obediently to it, then we see things happen. So he had this relationship that he was open to hearing God. Are you open to hearing what God has to say to you? Are you open to being in the center of God's will? Of God being in the middle of everything that you do? Are you open to God speaking to you a message from His Word? If you have that kind of relationship, you'll know it's because God called you. I said it a few days ago, and I'll stress this a lot in days to come because there's so much confusion. You don't get saved when you want to get saved. You get saved when you can. No man cometh unto the Father except my Father who has sent me draw him. That's the calling power. It takes the convicting calling power of the Holy Ghost. But yet, sometimes people confuse that because they imagine what the calling power of God is. The very fact you're here today means God has called you. The very fact you're listening to His Word means that God has called you. So the Lord not only called him, but then he commanded him. And he said, I'll be obedient. So this brings us up to our text. He goes. He had tried to use every excuse he could. He was slow of speech. God sent his brother Aaron with him. But when you get there, you don't read where Aaron's speaking on behalf of Moses. Moses speaks for himself. So he's there and he tells Pharaoh. And of course, Pharaoh, as soon as they leave, he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to increase the task load. Take their straw away and require them to have the same tally of brick. Make sure that they have the same amount of brick made today that they made on yesterday without the right supply. So the people began to murmur. They were excited when he first told them. Kind of like a lot of you when you got to come back to church the first time. But then when you realize that life is still life, and just because you go through one problem, you realize there's still other problems you've got to deal with, then suddenly you start to say, did I really hear God correctly? And that's where he's at in this. The people are complaining, so he comes back to God and he says, Lord, I need to hear from you. So we not only see the fact that he has a relationship with God, the relationship that he has, but also the reassurance that he needed from God. There's sometimes, even though you've heard from God, you just need to hear from God again. And I reach the place where that sometimes we have to say, Lord, I need some type of reassurance that you're in the middle of all of this and you're going to take care of all of this. And I need that reassurance from you. I need you to once again tell me. And the Lord said four times, here's your reassurance. I am the Lord. Nothing else matters. I am the Lord. God is basically saying, you don't look at your abilities. When I have a relationship with you, oh, I hope you hear this today. When God has a relationship with you, with me, when we have accepted the Lord and accepted the call and we've been saved and we have this relationship, then God assumes full responsibility for everything that you need to fulfill any command that he gives you in your life. So when you feel like I don't have enough, God says, you're not the one doing it. I'm doing it. Now, if you're going to do it on your own ability, you'll be in trouble. But God assumes full responsibility of taking care of it all. And he says, since I'm the Lord and you're not, you don't have to worry about it. You know what he's saying to Moses? Moses was saying, I don't have an army. God said, you don't need an army. I'm the Lord. Moses said, I don't have any weapons. He said, you don't need any weapons. I am the Lord. But Lord, they've got more weapons than what we've got. The Lord says, you don't worry about what they have. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. I am the Lord. Lord, we don't have horses to outrun them. We don't have possessions like they've got. The Lord says, the earth and the fullness thereof is mine. I am the Lord. And you're saying today, I'm sure that God has called me. I'm sure that God has saved me. I'm sure I have a relationship with God. But here I am in the middle of it. I'm facing sickness and the doctors can't seem to overcome it. What do I do? I am the Lord is what God told me to remind you of. When you don't have enough money, God says you don't need enough money. I am the Lord. When nobody else is there with you and everybody turns against you, may I remind you, God said, I am the Lord. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. I am the Lord. That's all the reassurance that you need. If you see the fact that it all relies on him, don't fall in the trap of comparing your ability to God's responsibility. When God calls you, you're not responsible. You're not responsible for the results. Because he not only had the relationship, and he not only had the reassurance, but God told him, the results are up to me. He will equip you. He will help you. He will empower you. He will endue you. He will strengthen you. He will teach you. He will guide you. He will supply for you. He will help you. He will hug you. He will love you. He will guide you. He will not stop with you. He will not leave you. He is saying the results are mine. He not only said for reassurance four times, I am the Lord, but eight times he said, I will. I will. I will. I will. I will. Who sang that? Was Moses saying it? No. God was saying it. He's saying the results is not up to you. The truth of the matter is, as I stand and preach this message today, I can tell you the truth. I can teach you the truth. I can stay in the book. I can stay in the word. But short and simple, the results are not up to me. The results are up to the Lord. And the Lord said, I told you I will rid you of the Egyptians. I told you I would break your bondage and bring you out. I told you I would bring you in to a promised land. I told you that I would supply for you. I would be with you. I will keep my commandments. I will not let you get the glory. He said, it is my glory. It is my results. If it happens, it happens because of me. I will. I will. Today, right before service, Hoy Duncan texted Brian and I in a group text. And I seldom look at my phone before I preach, but I actually had jotted a note down in my phone and I went to get it. And by the way, Candy and I got new phones Friday. So if you text me Friday and I didn't reply, I'm not mad at you. Something between the shift over, they always promise us we won't lose anything and we lose it. So if you send me anything Friday or Saturday, you may want to resend it or pout at me. That's your choice. I'm not savvy to technology. And thank God I'm not addicted to it. I'm glad for it. I use it just like all of you. But I'm telling you, some of you can't eat. You can't eat a bowl of cereal without looking at it. You can't go to church without looking at it. It's with you always. I'm glad we got it. But, I mean, if we knew the Bible like we knew our cell phone, we'd all be better off. My little soapbox for the day. I'm done. I'm done. So, I was hoping, I hope that note came through. I jotted it down. So, I went to get the note. And can I just go on one short rabbit trail here? Anytime God gives you something, write it down immediately. Immediately. Because I promise you, if you don't write it down, if He gave it to you, if He gave you a God-centered word with a God-centered message because you're God-centered people, then He's going to speak to you at the right time with that word. And you're going to need it in the future. If you don't need it today, you're going to need it on down the road. So what you do is you jot it down. So don't get away from you. Don't tell me how good your mind is. You will get distracted and you will forget what God had told you for such a time as this. So you jot it down. So when I go to look at it, there it is. There's this video that is just maybe a minute and a half, wasn't it, Brian? It was a year ago today. Roger Duncan is laying in the bed in the hospital, hardly able to speak, and he's preaching from his bed for about a minute and a half. And of all the things, 30 seconds into it, he's quoting the passage of Scripture. Though the mountains be moved into the sea, I will be with thee. You don't know what you'll face. I don't know what I'll face. But I do know this, God is with me. And if God is with me, in the right time, God will take care of all of His enemies. They're not our enemies anyway, they're His enemies. If they attack you, they attack Him. It's kind of like some of you haven't learned yet. You best not attack preachers. Touch not mine anointed. You best not attack people that's serving God. You may not understand it, you may not accept it, but keep it to yourself. Because once you verbalize it, the devil will take hold of that and use that. You know, sometimes I have preachers in and people in and singers in, different things. And some of you have enough nerve to actually think it's going to change my opinion by letting me know you don't like them. I I've got one Greek word for that. Baloney. I don't care what you like and don't like. When God has His hand on every service, it's not about you. It's not about you getting blessed. It's not about you being seen. Sometimes God is using people behind the scenes to do certain things. And I tell you one thing, I don't want to meet God in judgment and the Lord look at me and say, you know what? All you did was bash my servants. All you did was touch mine anointed. I don't want to touch God's anointed. I want to share in their anointing. I want to be at the place where that you say, God, you use them, you can use me. And I know if they are an enemy to you, Lord, you'll drive them out with judgment. But that's your place, God. That's not my place. All I need to do is hear from you, follow you. Let this book, God's book, be my guidebook. So the question is simple. If you're unsaved, and you say today, I haven't heard from the Lord. Well, what you need to do today is you need to come and ask God for a relationship. And for those of you that God has called and God has commanded and you did something and you felt like you fell flat on your face, the results are not yours. The results belong to God. Just because it didn't happen how I imagined it in my mind doesn't mean that God didn't have His hand on it. So today, I encourage you, if you need to hear from God, we've got a good place here to hear from God. We call them altars. And when you come to the altar and you bring it to the altar, God will hear what you have to say.